We're going to ask Vicky to come. Thanks, Steve. Come, Vicky. Yeah, please come.
Sorry, I missed that.
You did miss that. You're kind of like, you know. Thank you for today, you know, in our staff meeting. The words that Vicky delivered for our staff that could make it this morning, and Danny and Reese were there too from as part of the youth from Wellard and Frio, and a couple of others that could make it, you know, they were just like pinpoint. I was like, that couldn't have been better. Right, Charlie? Yeah. Incredible. Let's give Vicky another hand. God bless you.
Happy pastor is a happy prophet.
It's always a good thing when I'm not upsetting the pastor. That's happened before. Now, I am not a millennial, and I have got 2,506 unopened emails in my inbox. Worship team, you can sit down. Great work. Thank you. Can anyone beat that? 2,506. Yes. 7,400. Oh, dear. And when it comes to fasting, look, I just feel to encourage you, when you're kind of looking at this, you know, prayer and fasting time you're going into, a few years ago, we had the call to pray and fast at Oxford Falls. Now, my husband has been told that medically he can't fast. Have you got the picture of him? Yep. Here he is. He's a marathon man. He's hashtag Speedy Simpson. The way that picture is makes him look a little chunkier than what he is. If you would look at it from here, up there, you can just see how lean he is. He's got something like 5% body fat. And so tried to fast once and got quite sick. So when it comes to prayer and fasting, he can't actually fast food. For some reason, no doctor has ever told me I can't medically fast food. I don't know why. So what we did, can I tell you the hardest thing I've ever fasted? And it was this. We decided to fast TV. I remember at night time we're just looking at each other. we don't do board games. Nah. But you know, we have never gone back to watching as much TV as we did before that fast. In fact, we used to put it on watch sunrise or having breakfast. Yeah, so we don't put it on, 5 o'clock is the earliest in the afternoon that we'll ever turn on TV now. So there you go. There's a thought for anyone who might think, you know, can't fast food, fast TV, fast Netflix. There, that'll kill some of you. All right. Now, here we go. Now, I got inspired this afternoon, and I came with something prepared. Great message. Even threw a bit of Nehemiah in there because I thought that it'd make Pastor Nige really happy. And as I was just laying on my bed this afternoon, I got inspired. And so, number one, I never ever preach off the smartphone. I'm a hard copy girl, but that's all I had. So here we go. Wish me luck. So this is hot off the press, okay? And what I feel that God wants to do is to set some of you free from something that's going to enable you to rise. It's going to enable you to rise up. So it's the step before the rising up. Maybe it's going to help some of you here. The scripture I got was Matthew chapter 5. Now, I'm in denial about how bad my eyesight is. I generally don't wear glasses when I'm up here, but I've got no option right now. So, oh, gee, they're filthy. Excuse me. Don't mind me. Tissue, nah, that's okay. Here we go. I've got some of those wipes.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16 in the Message Bible, it says, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colours in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Be opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So that's a great version. I love that in the Message. I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. So in this passage, God's telling us where we belong. He's saying, you, church, belong on a hilltop, on a light stand. Both high places, incidentally. Both places that require you to rise in order to occupy. That's where you're called to be. That's where you're positioned to be, in this place that is elevated. Now, I want to get somebody to I might use you, Jared. Now, I want you to come here, and I just want you to sit down on the floor. I want you to sit there kind of like, say, between Roy and Mum there. Yeah, just sit down, crouch down in there, okay? Make yourself as small as you can. Yeah, that's it, perfect. Okay, how many of you can see Jared from where you are? From where you are, no standing. Can you see him? Nah, no one can see you. Okay, now I'm going to ask you to rise up. Aha, now who can see him? I'm here tonight to tell you that in this season of rising up, you're going to be seen. Thank you, Jared. Well done. You're going to be seen. Rising causes you to be seen. So I want to help to equip you to rise and expose a fear that may be holding you back. The fear of being seen. The fear of being seen. I had a dream. I've had two very significant dreams in recent years. I only have dreams when God wants to shout. Seems like that's his last resort. So when I have a dream, it's momentous. Like it's really, you know, it's a warning. It's something that's going to be life-changing. And it was about 9 years ago, I had a dream that I was following Pastor Phil Pringle up a building site. And this building site was incomplete. And I actually, at the time, in this dream, was in a beautiful, comfy, cozy, lush, velvet-clad cafe. And I sighted Pastor Phil. And in this dream, I followed him. I started following him up levels. And all he was doing, he didn't even acknowledge me. He didn't say anything. Oh, and I was watching him. He was like leaning over and he was writing stuff. He was painting things on the sides of this building, which was incidentally wasn't enclosed yet. It was kind of like scaffolding stage. I follow him. And then I look down. In this dream, I look down and I freak out because I'm like 50 stories high. Like I'm like up in the sky. I freak out because I'm so high, because I have risen so high that I jump. In this dream, I actually decide to jump, thinking I'm just going to jump to a lower level. But what I do is I actually fly through the whole thing, and in the dream, I'm starting catapulting to my death. Well, wake up! And that dream was actually the confirmation we needed for us to move to Sydney, because what our interpretation of the dream was that that me staying on a lower level was what was going to kill me, not rising higher. I had a fear of going higher. It looked terrifying. For some of you, the things God is going to call you to in this season, it's going to terrify you. I see taps on shoulders where you're going to be called out, assigned new responsibilities, where some of you will be encouraged to break through barriers and limitations. And your initial reaction might be like mine was in this dream, that no, I can't go this high. I can't go this high. It's quite scary up here. But the alternative was worse. Because in me jumping to a low level, I totally missed what God had planned. And at that point, we're at a crossroads and my husband felt we were meant to move to Sydney from Adelaide and I was terrified. I didn't want to. I didn't want to go to Sydney. Good place to visit. Don't want to live there. And through this dream, God spoke to me that the alternative of staying on the lower level was worse. 9 years later, it was only a few months back, I had another dream. And in this dream, again, another one where I was required to, I was climbing up a ladder on the side of a high rise. Now, this building was complete. It was finished. But it was very, very high, but very narrow. And I climbed up and the sun was setting. And I got up, and as I got up the top, I stood up and immediately panic gripped me. And I actually hit the floor. I actually went on my face. It's like just absolute fear gripped me. In the meantime, other people are coming up the same steps, up the same ladder, and they're climbing up on top and they're standing up and they're having a look around at the view, quite confident, quite comfortable. And I am absolutely broken into a sweat. And what's more, I'm trying to get someone's attention to help, because what I'm doing is I'm not just on my face, I'm literally feeling for the ladder. I want to go back down. And these other people are getting up and they're going down their own ladder and no one's even taking any notice of me. And in the meantime, the sun is setting. The sun is setting. And what God said to me through that dream was that I had a fear of standing up and being seen. Now, you might think, for someone who seems as extroverted as me, seems like, well, I'm here. But I'm telling you, I have my limits. You're not going to find a YouTube channel of Vicky Simpson. I'm very hard to find on YouTube. I have my limits of where I've wanted to be seen and where I haven't. I read a story by, I've been reading quite a lot by Dr. Brené Brown, who is a researcher into the areas of courage and vulnerability and shame. I read her story where she was asked to speak at TEDx in Houston to present a TED talk. She presents this TED talk not knowing they were going to put it on YouTube. When she found out, she absolutely freaked out that it had gone on YouTube because she had shared in front of 500 people the story of her own personal breakdown. And even that, the next morning she had woken up beating herself up that she had been so vulnerable and had shared this story to 500 people. When she found out it had gone on YouTube, she started absolutely go into a panic. What if 1,000 people see this? What if 1,000 people see this YouTube talk? Today, about 30 million people have viewed. And she realized this. As much as I would be frustrated about not getting my work out there into the world, there was a part of me trying to be very hard to engineer staying small. I was staying right under the radar. Maybe you're here today and you're afraid of rising up. You will to a limit, but you have a limit. Because you see, when you're seen, you're vulnerable. When you're seen, you can be attacked. When you're seen, you can be criticized. When you're seen, you can be judged. And if you're anything like me, I don't like any of those things. I don't like being criticized and rejected and being judged. But do you know what? There is a price for staying small. And there is a price for staying low when you're called to rise up high. Jesus said, don't put your lamp under a bushel. Don't put it under a bucket, it says in the message. You're called to be on the hilltop. You're called to be seen. You're called to shine brightly. And you know there's a dimmer switch, you know, that controls the strength of light. I just see God putting his hand on a dimmer switch on over C3 Fremantle, Wellard and making it brighter. Making it brighter. That you would be seen to a greater level. That Living under the radar does not necessarily serve your purposes in the next season. In the words of the prophet Jim Carrey, your need for acceptance can make you invisible in this world. Risk being seen in all of your glory. Maybe here tonight you've had times when you've been promoted or given opportunity and you haven't had the confidence to embrace that opportunity, to rise up when the opportunities come. You haven't had the confidence, you haven't had the courage, the talent. You haven't felt like you've had the intelligence, the worthiness to fully embrace it, to stand in that moment. I believe God wants to release confidence, courage, that you'd embrace those moments. I remember first year of school, 5 years old. I was the youngest. I'm a December baby, so I had only just turned five when I started primary school. And they're having putting on a concert on a parent day. And the Owl and the Pussycat. Anyone remember that pea green boat or something or other? Who remembers the Owl and the Pussycat? And so we're going to do a little play, grade ones, and the teacher asked, okay, boys, who wants to play the owl? And all these boys are like, me, you know. And so she picked someone to be the owl. And I was like, and who wants to be the pussycat? And all these girls like, ooh, me. And I didn't put my hand up. But secretly, I really wanted to be the pussycat. And the teacher eyeballed me. She said, Vicky, do you want to be the pussycat? And I remember saying, no. And I really did want to. And she said it again. Vicky, are you sure you don't want to be the pussycat? And I've really got to get to the bottom of why I said no. But I said no. And I realised this. On the day of that concert, and I still remember who took the pussycat role. That was Madeline Long. I still remember. It's like 50 years ago. I still remember. I remember her coming out in a costume. I had, you know, this pussycat mask and this costume. And I remember looking at, she walked in and how proud her mum was. And my mum was there. And you know what? Even as a little girl, I thought, you know what? I didn't just rip myself off. I ripped my mum off. Who are you ripping off because of your fear? Because you're afraid to shine, because you're afraid to rise up and be seen, you're not just ripping yourself off, you're ripping off someone else. And God's breaking the power of intimidation tonight. Intimidation is a spirit that makes us timid. And some of you have put it down to your personality type, but it isn't actually your personality type. It's been intimidation. Because even if you're quiet, God wants you quiet and confident. Yeah, and quiet in quiet and quietness and confidence is your strength. They can go together. The righteous are as bold as a lion, not just the sanguines or the cholerics. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And so God wants you to take your stand, each and every one of you, on the hilltop, on the lampstand, being seen, being visible. That's not talking about everyone getting up here and grabbing a microphone and preaching. I'm talking about whatever area of service God's called you to be, that you would do it standing tall, that you would do it to the best of your ability, that you would let God come and turn the dimmer switch off, that he would turn it up. Actually, in the back row, the sweetheart there with the beautiful strawberry blonde hair, what's your name, sweetheart? Catherine, I see God coming, as I said that, with being a dimmer switch on you that's been down low because someone told you at some point, sometime in the past, like, you're too much, you're too this, you're too that. And I see God reversing it, actually reversing it in this season. And I hear a challenge. He's asking, will you embrace it? Will you embrace this season of opportunity? He's calling you, and I'm seeing you rising up. If you allow him, he will do exceedingly above and beyond all you could ask or think. in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3, 4 to 6. What's the time? 8:32. Good. We're all good. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Now, I just want to touch on briefly on this thing called inadequacy. Because maybe some of you feel inadequate. You just don't feel like you've got enough. Enough of whatever. Enough confidence. Enough gifting. Enough whatever. Enough. But this is the Apostle Paul, and he makes a statement here of insufficiency. The Apostle Paul. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves, so think of anything as being from ourselves. So if you feel insufficient, inadequate, weak in any way, join the club of which the Apostle Paul is president and I am vice president. But our sufficiency is from God, who has also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter but of the Spirit. Some of you have put more faith in your insufficiency than in God's sufficiency in you. Your starting point is a revelation of your insufficiency. That's actually a good starting point. You need that. So like, oh, I can't do this. Great starting point. I couldn't do that. I mean, that's just about been the story of my life. Like, I couldn't do that. Well, I can't do that. Exactly right. You're right. You can't. You can't. None of you can. But we have a sufficiency that is from God. So we need to switch. Some of you need to make a faith switch. So your faith has gone off your insufficiency onto God's sufficiency, who has made you sufficient as ministers. Sweetheart here, black t-shirt. Riders in the storm. What's your name, darling? Tanya? Yeah. You're a sufficient minister. You're a sufficient minister. Because you think, I don't feel like it. Irrelevant. It's because God says you are. Yeah, he has made you. So it's not even what you can make of yourself. It's what he has made. He has made you. That should take a bit of pressure off, because he's actually already made you. According to the word, you already are. It's not even what you're becoming. You already are. You are a sufficient minister. So not just one that's in progress or in the making, or you are already. Because he says so. And I prophesy that over you, Tanya. You are a sufficient minister. You've got the goods. Not because of who you are, but because of who God is, because of what he's given you, because of what's on the inside of you. There's more than what you realize. So much more than what you realize. And I see you breaking out like chicken breaking out of the egg, you know, like butterfly out of the cocoon, like breaking out of prison, like Paul and Silas. Like you're breaking out of some stuff to shine and to help the people who God has assigned you and called you to help. There are going to be some people, no one else is going to reach them but you. There are some people, they won't listen to anyone else, but you'll have credibility and they'll listen to you because God's made you. He's made you a sufficient minister. Every single one of you here tonight, C3 Fremantle, C3 Wellard, you are sufficient ministers. Repeat after me. I am a sufficient minister. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So you've got a treasure. Every single one of you in an earthen vessel. Pastor Phil said to me once that, he said my humour was very earthy. I think it was a compliment. I wasn't sure. Earthen vessel. I like to say we're just a bunch of mugs. I think Joyce Meyer says we're crackpots. Treasure in an earthen vessel. This is third row, like a tie-dyed top there. Yeah, what's your name, Dale? Crystal. Treasure in an earthen vessel. Treasure. God wants to open your eyes to the treasure that's on the inside, that he's placed in you. You got something to offer. I see God opening up something on the inside of you. It's like, you know, it's like a dam, you know. Sometimes it's like banked up, but God's going to open something up inside of you so those living waters can flow out of you. There's something creative about you, something artistic. God wants to stir that up. Release that. And I see you as well, butterfly out of the cocoon. But I see you out. I see you out. And so there's something unique, something for you to do, a place. I see you fitting like a jigsaw in a puzzle. And without you, it wouldn't be complete. It's a treasure. Yeah, you're earthen. We all are. None of us are perfect. You don't qualify. If you're perfect, sorry. The Apostle Paul isn't even perfect. Yeah? So you've got a part to play. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Maybe Jared and your guitar. Is that all did we have someone on keyboard? Or is it just you and your guitar? Yeah. Yeah, come. Come. Just give me a bit of musical thing in the behind me while I do a few things. Because I really want to minister. I want to minister into this whole thing of being afraid to rise. Being afraid to rise up. Because maybe you can identify with that. There's the call to rise up, right? But if you have a fear of being seen, if you have a fear of being visible, if you have a fear of being too bright, oh, what are people going to say about me? Oh, they're going to think I'm full of myself. That kind of thing. Oh, what if I make a mistake? You know, if I rise up and I stuff up, join the club. Queen of all stuff ups. But God puts a treasure in earthen vessels. It's not based on our perfect performance. It's based on our heart and availability. Are you willing to be seen? Are you willing to stand on the hilltop? Are you willing to be on the lampstand so men might see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven? That is the point of it all. That they might see. That they're going to see God through you. And so right now, every eye closed, I want you to consider, really consider. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are you afraid of climbing up to that the top, the heights? Do you have afraid of heights? Do you have afraid of heights when it comes to your destiny? Oh yeah, I'll do that, but I won't. Oh yeah, so I'm happy to be in the kitchen, but no, I'm not going to be. I don't want to do such and such. Oh yeah, I'm happy to. I'm confident as a Connect group leader, but I don't want to rise up. I can't do that. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand right now. Say, yeah, that's me. I know that there is some fears. I know that intimidation. Oh, now I'm going to get you to do one thing. More thing, I'm going to get you to rise up. I want you to rise up right now. That's you. You've raised your hand. Rise up. I want you to stand right now. That's it. Stand. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, that's it. You know, there's a fear. Intimidation. You know, intimidation comes against you. Intimidation makes you timid. It makes you close up. It makes you draw back. It causes you not to speak. It causes you not to witness. It causes you to hold back. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's a breakthrough anointing here right now. If you want to be a part of it, oh, That's it. I want you to stand. If you know that's you, you feel limited, you feel restricted because of fear. Oh, Rama, hey, hey, oh, Rama, Andre, me, shende. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Ha, ha, ore me. Lift your hands to heaven. I want you to stand as high as you can. Oh, hold your head up high. That's it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Father, I thank you right now for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, Father, right now. Oh, now, Father, right now, for some of you, yeah? There's reasons why you've been afraid, reasons why you've drawn back, because of words that have been spoken, because of things of the past, because you rose up in the past and you got knocked back down, because of people's opinions did hurt, rejections did come against you. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your anointing right now, bringing healing. I break fear of failure off you in Jesus' name. Roy, I break fear of failure in Jesus' name. I break the lie of the enemy off your life. Father God, I thank you for that anointing, destroying that yoke of bondage. I thank you, Father, right now. Rise up. I prophesy over you, Roy. Rise up in Jesus' name. I see rungs on the ladder, rungs on the ladder, and you stopped halfway, and you got safe here. Yeah, I'm confident here, but I see new rungs in the ladder, and I'm seeing you looking up higher, and you're like, God's behind you. He's actually pushing you up the ladder. He's saying, don't worry, you won't fall back, and in fact, I'm not going to let you come back down, because I'm behind you. I'm pushing you up. Father, I thank you for the new heights. The new heights in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Yeah, chains being broken. Oh, Spirit, let's resist. In your heart, I want you to resist the spirit of intimidation. Yeah, yeah. Even with your mouth, say, I resist you. I resist intimidation in Jesus. That's it. We resist the devil and he will flee. We resist in Jesus' name. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to shine. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Shende robo arama eke ararama haya. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Shendraba shete robo raba. That's it. Hode, hode, pokraba shate. My brother in the back row in the blue top, my African brother there. What's your name, mate? Blama? Is that right? I see you breaking out of something, some limitation of the past, and it's where a door was shut on you. It's like a door was closed. It was shut in your face, and I see. I see it stunned you, it hurt you, it was you know, an offensive thing, but I see the Lord opening up a door for you, and He is the one who opens what no man can open. And he shuts what no man can shut. I see him shutting a door on the past, and I see him opening up a door because there's leadership. You are a leader. You are an influencer. You are one who ones would take notice of. But because of some shame of the past, that's not even your fault. I see there's been a limitation on the brightness of the light. But your light is going to shine so much. Oh, it's going to be like one of these spotlights that hits a stage. In fact, God's putting the spotlight on you, Blammer. He's putting the spotlight on you. And you're not going to shrink away and hide. You're going to step into it and own it because you know it's a divine opportunity. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ha ha. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Cool. Thank you, Lord. Anyone feel a bit like, yeah, I'm feeling something? I love the fact that you stood on the chair. You really got it. Yeah. That was very cool. Thank you, Lord. I bring it as you know, to raise your awareness, because you're going to be aware that when opportunity comes to step up, Caroline, like I see you stepping into some sort of public opportunity. Like it's going to be like a public face you're going to have, public profile. And it's like as it comes, like there will be some times, oh, who, me? Like, because it's like we've got this idea, this false humility thing. If I could go back and relive these, you know, especially the last 25 years, I'd do some things really differently. God wants you to shine. He wants you to be seen. So, no, I'm just don't want to push myself forward. It's a difference between flesh and spirit, but God wants you to shine. Sweetheart there in front of me, standing, the blue jacket, blue cardigan. What's your name, Dan? Carol? Carol? Went right out of my head. I was listening to the drums. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He wants you to shine. And he's put something on the inside of you. And it's deep. Confidence is rising up in you. Confidence in Jesus' name. I hear him saying you can do it. You can do it. And the enemy will come and try to tell you you can't. But you can. It's not based on actually how you feel. It's based on a spiritual truth that he's made you sufficient as a minister. I see you ministering in the Holy Ghost. I see you laying hands on the sick and they will recover. I see you in the community and you'll get a word of knowledge. You'll hear something from God to share with people and they don't even know Jesus. You're going to be really doing Holy Ghost business out there. I see you in the marketplace, making a difference, shining in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Give me a wave if you're a Connect Group leader. If you're a Connect Group leader. Okay, I want you all to stand. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Connect Group should be one of the brightest places in the life of the church. Shining, you're Connect Group leader, Amber. How cool. Oh man, if I was your age again, how I would do things differently. Don't let the lies of the enemy stop you from being all that you can be. You've got a heart of mercy. Such a mercy gift. People, mercy gifts, 1 Corinthians 12. It's those who such compassion. Oh, weep with those who weep. But you're strong. It's a great combo. It's a rare combination. And so I want to pray for Connect Group leaders right now. For this year in 2018. Actually, the back row, blue t-shirt, are you husband and wife? Yeah, I have to check. I sometimes put strange people together. What are your names? Louis and Juliet. So not Romeo and Juliet. Louis and Juliet. You guys are great people in this church. Another quality couple. Yeah, great couple. Pure hearts. God's got it. I see your connect group growing and multiplying. What's wrong? Oh, wow, it's going to go more. Multiplying. I just had a picture like a cell. Multiplying, multiplying, multiplying. More. Yeah. Clearly good disciples. Disciple makers. It's a rare thing these days. Keep doing what you're doing and continue to teach others to do what you do because you're doing it right. Yeah, you've got a gift. That's a beautiful thing. Five, that's pretty good. I don't know. Many of you wouldn't know this. This man, Graham Vert over here, used to be my pastor. Was he your pastor too at one stage? To a certain extent. Because the gifts of God are without repentance. I mean, they're still a pastor, still a shepherd, capital S. Honestly, we're the best pastors I have ever been under. That's the honest to God truth. I don't know if you remember this, Graham. After a prayer meeting one night, it's back in the old Gosnells building, I got a bee in my bonnet. It's like I had this revelation, the prayer meeting. The fact I felt like I was bypassed for many years, like I was overlooked, and like I felt like I had so much more to give. And mate, the APOs in those days didn't let women do much. That's the honest to God truth. But and I remember after prayer meeting, I just about grabbed Graham by the shirt collar and threw him up against a wall in the car park. Then I got a revelation why I wasn't being used, and it was because I was single. I don't know if you even remember that. Such a gracious man, he's probably put it behind him, and you know. I remember his blue eyes looking at me absolutely stunned because I lost the plot that night. I absolutely, my mafia spirit manifested. But I just remember the grace on this man. So much grace and wisdom. And really, Graham, you know, there are many called pastor, but there are very few shepherds. And you truly are a shepherd. I don't know if you've ever heard Lydia speak. I don't know if you've ever... My goodness. I mean, it's been a long time since I've heard her, but she has to be able to get up and recite the whole Bible by heart. And you know what? You too, I sense that there is a stirring in God, this second wind. You've always been faithful, always done what's in your hand to do, serve God, never held back. But I just see like a reassigning, like just something fresh. For like the next installment, fresh, and it's just that, you know, that second wind. The marathon runners, towards the end of the race, I'm not saying you come to the end of your race, but like they get to a certain point in the marathon, and honestly, they just want to give up. Like it's about the 30K mark. Honestly, everything within them is just screaming. And they still got another 12K to go. It's like, I just want to stop. It's like, but they know if they just keep putting one foot in front of the other, they just keep pushing on, something changes biochemically and they get this thing called the second wind and it's like this fresh, I'm just seeing a fresh vision, seeing something new for you both and this reassigning. It's going to come with a fresh anointing. Father, right now, for Graham and Lydia. Lydia, I just see a burden on your heart. There's something that's been just a weight on your heart that's been there for some time. And it's quite heavy. But Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Your word says to be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, we make our request known unto you in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Your word says we cast our care onto you. And God, there's a care so heavy that it almost seems uncastable. It's like, God, I can't even lift this thing. But Father, I just thank you for doing something supernaturally in that situation to release some of the grievous, there's something grievous about it. Lord, your word says you turn our mourning into dancing. You turn our mourning, Lydia, I hear the Lord saying he's going to turn for you your mourning into dancing. Take off your sackcloth and clothe you with gladness. And Father, I just thank you for Graham and Lydia, my God, for the people. They're going to continue to shepherd and disciple with a new vision, a fresh assignment, like Nehemiah with a fresh burden. Father, particular people broken down, I see you being called to fix and repair. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, for these Connect Group leaders tonight, God, I pray right now, God, for a fresh impartation. New strategies. Hear the Lord saying there's going to be new strategies. There's going to be some different, and it's going to be a corporate thing. I just believe that as the year progresses, even your pastors and your leaders are going to kind of get thoughts. Some of you are going to get these thoughts of and bringing them to the table of, and I see the doors being made wider. I'm just seeing the doors to the Connect Groups being made wider. And they're going to draw people from all sorts of walks of life, from all sorts of places. I see a whole heap of people in Connect Group who won't even be in church. Yeah, it's like that's going to be for them. That's for them in the season in which they're in. That's going to be church. And you're going to be the only pastor they know. Father, I pray that you're going to give these leaders the tools that they need. Give them the wherewithal, Father, in the spirit. Father God, I just thank you tonight for the increase. Lord, they're going to shine. The Connect Groups are going to rise and shine. Cities on a hill, on the lampstand, visible, visible. I see a magnetic pull. A magnetic pull. People being drawn out of, I see, out of darkness, out of caves, hidden. People from the community being drawn in. Not just people in the church, but from outside. Father, I thank you. I thank you. Bless these Connect Group leaders right now. You're going to have a great year. You're going to have a great year. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. What do you reckon? You up for it? You up for it? You remember. There's a lady there with glasses. What's your name? Karina. Karina, it's a new day. It's a new day. Remember not the former things. Nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. It's going to be really new. And I pray for you. I pray for a fluidity, like a flexibility, because some things are going to be really new. And it's like, oh, is that the way we do that? Is that the, oh, gee, that's different. I hear you having a lot of like, oh, that's different moments. But you see, as you're flexible and as teachable and you're hungry, you're hungry. Something, you want this. And God has got you exactly where he wants you. It's a bit of that potter's wheel thing going on. You know, the shaping and the making and woo, 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 like what's happening here? God is forming you to be. I see like the earthen vessel, the pot, this beautiful vase. Beautiful vase. And that's you. That's your life. And so, hang on to your hat. Hold on to your horses. Get ready for a ride. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. You're going to look back. In 12 months' time, you're going, oh my gosh. Wow, God, I cannot believe how much you have done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Come on, one more hand for Vicky. You know, Vicky could have just come and shared an old message. She could have come and just, you know, we would have been blessed because, you know, you can do that. Once you've done this a few times, you can go and do that. But I think the impact of these few days has set us on course for our year, right? And when one of my board members comes to me and says we need to take up another offering for Vicky Simpson, I'm going to say yes. So we're going to take up an offering, and if you need this, there's a envelope. You want to write IOU on it because you haven't got any money, or you want to put your credit card details. There's more. I see there's quite a few, and I'm just going to give you some time. And while we're doing that, these guys are just going to play in the background here. You can maybe even just sing a little bit, Jared, just for a sec. And I thank you, Lord, that as we send Vicky off in a God-honoring way, that as we show our generosity, Father, Lord, that there would be, you know what I sense, and I'm probably picking up on the prophet's anointing tonight, but I really do sense that there is a transaction in heaven that when we put something in for what the prophet has given us, who knows that the teacher is worthy of his reward? The Bible's clear on this right through Scripture. And as we do this, not beyond your ability, but in faith. So it is a stretch. You know, I see Greg and Caroline, I just see, and we're going to take up this offering, but because you were the ones who actually said, can we do this? I see some things that have been difficult actually becoming easy because you have been willing to give in this way. And I think, if I'm correct, there's a couple of things that have been like, oh, I missed out on that, I missed out on that. But I'm going to go for that anyway. And you're going to see things actually start to stockpile. And I see more people coming on staff in this year. And a whole new development of how you think and oversee your business. And Father, I pray that multiplication across all of us in whatever field we're in Jesus' name. And it's okay to be standing on the hill, you two. It really is. Let's take up this offering. Thank you, Lord.